Welcome to Faith in Corinth. This podcast is an extension of the Central Church located at 293 County Road 218 in Corinth, Mississippi. We hope and trust today's broadcast will bring you hope, encouragement, and insight from God's Word. And we ask you to like and share this podcast with those to whom you believe it will benefit. Again, thank you for joining us. Now, let's get into today's podcast. Hallelujah. One more time. Could you raise your hands to heaven and love Him again? God, I give you my mind this morning. I give you my heart this morning, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I understand we are few in number today because of vacations and sicknesses. But it is my honest prayer and hope that the words of this message today will reach beyond the four walls of this congregation through the means of our service on Facebook or through our podcast. I pray that whoever and whenever they hear this, and you this morning in this service, that it will speak to you. It will challenge you. I'll be honest, more than a couple of times this week, and this has been in my spirit for over a week now. I actually wrote the majority of what I felt to say a week ago this Saturday as my wife and I and Tammy were flying back from New York to Nashville. And it's been burning in my spirit ever since. But this week I've caught myself more than a couple of times saying, God, let this cup pass from me. I know the word is needed. I know you're going to talk to us. There's a lot of other things I'd rather preach today, though. But God, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. The title of the message today is The Cost of the Oil. The Cost of the Oil. No matter which road you and I choose to travel on in this life, there is going to be a cost associated with that journey. The Bible said Jonah, when he was running from the voice and the command of God, paid the fare to go to Tarshish. He not only paid the price monetarily, he paid the price physically. By being on a ship that brought a storm to everybody involved and on that ship, until he was able to tell them that the only way the storm is going to stop is if you throw me off of this ship, then the storm will cease. Why Jonah didn't throw himself off the ship is beyond me, knowing that that would cause or bring a cease to the storm. And then being swallowed up, as I read in my Bible this week, in the belly of a great fish, 3 days, until he was able to pray, God, I'll instead do your will instead of my will. And there that great fish found its way to the shore and vomited him out of his mouth. And Jonah finally went and did the will of God. Jonah, in running from the voice of God, paid the price. I submit to you this morning that you may run from God, and you may think that the cost may be a little bit easier in living a life of flesh and pleasure, but I am here to submit to you this morning a grave warning in your life that there is a cost to pay in running from God. There will be a cost to pay in running from the command and the voice of God. Their stories are too many to tell of people that I've once pastored who I tried to warn and get them to heed to the warning of God, but yet they continued to go their path, and several of them are in prison today because of their unwillingness to heed to the voice of God. I went to a young man who moved out of his house, quit coming to church, living with friends, drinking, smoking, drugs. I made a surprise visit to his home on a Thursday or Friday. I looked at him in the eyes before I left. I said, "Dustin, if you don't change before long, your life is going to unravel and you're going to pay the consequences of the lifestyle that you're living." It was less than 48 hours later, he was in a jail cell. Today, he is behind prison bars for the very rest of his life, with absolutely no hope of parole or escaping prison. I told a mother one day who was causing a lot of trouble and issues and was on her way out of church, I told her, I said that if you don't change your ways, and you know how I've pastored now for over 18 years, and this is not something I would say lightly, but I told her, I said that if you don't change and repent of your sins, I said God is going to turn you over to the tormentors. And brothers and sisters, as sadly as I say it today, it happened just as her pastor forewarned her about. I want you to know today, you can run from God, but you cannot hide. The Bible said Judas, in the absence of the multitude, betrayed the Lord. Amen. And there was a price to pay because of his turning his back on God and unwillingness to repent. I would submit to you on this Sunday morning of June, if you're running from God, stop running from God. Hallelujah. Because there is a cost to pay in a life filled with sin. I would tell our young people today, and every kid that's in this house able to understand the voice of their pastor, I would tell every adult and every elder in this house today, whatever you do, we are too close to the finish line. Don't turn away from God, because there is a cost involved in running from God and living a life of unrepentant sin. But I want to tell you something. As I mentioned earlier, no matter the road that you choose to travel, there is going to be a cost associated with that journey. There's not only the cost of living a life of sin, there is a cost in Pentecost. This experience wasn't given to us freely. We would be misguided into thinking that there is no personal cost involved in discipleship. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, the scriptures that I have related to you on many occasions. But I choose to remind you of this fact today. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life is going to lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake," Jesus said, "shall find it." I'm going to tell you something. You'll never find life by trying to save your life. In the end, by trying to escape the cost of Pentecost or the cost of discipleship, you will in turn lose your life. But if you will make up in your mind, I surrender everything that I have to Him. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. I do not belong to myself. I belong to the Savior that robed Himself in flesh and gave His blood for me. I belong to Him. Therefore, it's not my will, but your will be accomplished in me. And so the Bible says if you lose your life for His sake, that's truly the only way to find life. The Word of God continues to go on and say, for what shall it be profited? For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Another scripture I did not give, but I wish to reiterate to you today. Well, I skipped the verses. The Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself in verse 24 and take up his cross and follow me. Friend of mine, I am coming here today to remind every soul in this house and every person that will listen to this message who calls me their pastor and calls this church their church home. I want you to understand very loudly and clearly that you better never forget the fact that there is a cost involved in discipleship. You must be willing to deny yourself. You must be willing to take up your cross, and that's the only way you can truly follow Jesus, is denying self and picking up your cross. We want to live in a crossless, walk with God where there's no blood, there's no pain, there's no anguish for us to behold. I've come to tell you that simply is not true. Does the good outweigh the bad? Brothers and sisters, hold the Holy Ghost's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I am thankful for that. But in the midst of the righteousness, peace, and joy that I can only have in Jesus, I want you to also understand there is a cost involved in walking with Jesus. There's some things you got to say no to. There's some lifestyles you can't live. There's some ways you can't dress. There's some ways you can't act. There's some ways you can't talk. There's things you don't need to be looking at. There's people you don't need to be associating with. I'm not saying be rude to them. I'm not talking about being holier than holy, but their influence should never influence you. I'm going to preach it today with the help of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach it today. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You can walk out of the doors of this church today and you wouldn't have to travel too far to find you a church that says, you know, it's just easy believism. Just trust Him. Confess Him as Savior. Live how you want to live. There's no changes required. There's no actions to change. There's nothing in your life that needs to be altered. Brother, you're not going to find that in this church. I love you, and I love you enough to preach to you. It still takes repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, a revelation of the oneness of the Godhead and holiness on the inside and outside. Hollywood should never conform to us or tell us how to dress or live or how to conduct our lives. And yet you can find a church close by from leaving this place that will tell you and pat you on the back and tell you, no, all you got to do is just confess Him as Lord and Savior, and that's all you've got to do. I'm telling you that is a lie straight from the pit of hell, and I didn't stutter when I said it. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach the old-fashioned gospel today of self-denial and picking up your cross, denying yourself, and then following Jesus. Hallelujah. There's things in us that have to die. Things we need to allow Jesus to alter or change within us. Leonard Ravenhill made this statement of a video that I watched this week. He said, there's not only room at the cross, there's room on the cross. How long has it been since we put ourselves on the cross of self-denial and said, when God convicted us, instead of making excuses and saying, well, God, I don't think this matters anymore. I think this was just for the 60s or the 80s or the 90s. How long has it been since we let conviction speak to us and we changed those areas in our life instead of trying to bypass it and act like God did not speak? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you again, there's still some places you can't go and some things that as a man you can't wear, and as a lady there's some things you can't wear, not according to the United Pentecostal Church International, but according to this precious word of God that's going to judge us when we stand before the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Now you know I don't preach like this normally on a Sunday morning, but I'm going to tell you something. The more I talk to pastoral friends of mine, amen, there is a consensus among many of us that there is a pull back to conviction and heavy preaching. Amen. Too far, too long, our churches have been fed with sugar and ice cream and things that want to satisfy the flesh. I'm going to tell you something. Our flesh has got to die. I'm going to say it again. Our flesh has got to die. Somebody said it like this. Jesus Christ even knew what to do with his flesh. He hung it on a cross. And I ask you this morning the question, how long has it been since you put yourself on the cross of self-denial when God was saying, change this. Don't spend this much time on this. Put the phone down for a little while. Turn the computer off for a little while. Turn the television off. Don't look at this site. Don't go to this place. Love that person, but don't be a close association with them. Turn some things off on the radio. Hallelujah. Go back to the closet and throw away some things that you don't need to be wearing. Don't put them back in the closet and say, well, if I backslide, I still have it to go back. No, you need to throw them in the trash somewhere and burn them and say, I'm not going back to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in this hour we live in, we're fulfilling prophetic words from the Word of God. There's people with itching ears, wanting the preacher to tickle their ears and tell them something that they want to hear. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to preach to you, I love you and you can make it. And I'm going to preach to you faith and miracles, signs and wonders and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And God can heal your body. God can heal your mind. God can provide you. God can prosper you. You better well, I'm going to believe that because, and I'm going to preach it because that's what the scripture declares. But brothers and sisters, as I said 2 weeks ago, living for God is not just about loaves and fishes, and all of you're living for is living for God is just for miracles, signs and wonders. You're not gonna make it. I preached to this pulpit or to this church 2 weeks ago, amen, that nothing is gonna separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I'm afraid today in the churches and even this church, we don't have enough people that's got their feet planted in the Word of God and their shoulders square and say, come hell or high water, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to stay in the church. I'm going to keep on praying. I've come to tell you there's not only room at the cross, there's room on the cross. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is talking to the central church today. I'm not talking to the church across town or across the state. I'm talking to the central church this morning as your pastor. There's room on the cross for us. And we need to get back on the cross. You see, before stones were brought for the construction of the temple, the Bible says that they were cut and chipped away at a distance from the temple. In 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 7, and the house when it was in building was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house when it was in building. Fitly framed together is what the scripture says that we are. But I'm going to tell you something before God can put you on a pedestal. And I should probably not the right word to use, but let me use it for just a moment. Before God can elevate you, I'll put it that way. For God, before God can give you influence, it is the will of God that somewhere in the wilderness you allow him to get the hammer out and the chisel out. Because I don't care how good you were when you got the Holy Ghost, you were not good enough. And there is not a person in this house that was raised in church or came out of sin that somewhere along the line you don't have to submit yourself to the hand of God in the ministry and allow God to get the hammer and the chisel out and say, you know, I don't like that attitude about you. And he starts chiseling away on us in things that need to conform us to where he wants us to fit in his body and in his kingdom. But you know what? We live in today's society. It's just easy. Living for God ought to be easy all the time. And who is God that he has a right to chisel on me and to get the hammer out on me, Brother Shatwell? And I told you, not long after he became my pastor, he said, first time I saw you, he said, I thought there's a boy that Jesus has got a lot of work to do on. And brothers and sisters, from that moment, he got the hammer and the chisel out and started working on O'Terry Harmon. I'm a better man today because I allowed the hands of the Word of God and the hands of the ministry in my life to speak into me and to talk me. Oh, he did it with loving kindness most of the time, but there were times he had to get face to face with me. But whatever it takes, I want the flesh to be crucified. I want the flesh to die. We got too much flesh living in this church. We got too much flesh. You see, there are some things that never walk alone. They always walk together. Pride and destruction, haughty spirit and a fall, they always walk together. Pride is going to lead to destruction. Haughty spirit is going to lead to a fall. You can't bypass that. It is the absolute God's truth. They walk hand in hand together. Pride. You just hang on, brother. You're going to fall. Haughty spirit, like you're everything to everybody. That you're God's gift to the world. Get ready, friend. At some point in time, that person is going to fall because they all walk together. You see, the pathway up is down. The pathway up, if you want God to use you, is always down. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Who do we think we are to walk around in our arrogance and attitude? I'm talking from the top all the way down. The Holy Ghost wants to help this church to get it right position to where His Spirit can move and flow through our life. Goodness and mercy for the believer, they always walk hand in hand. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You cannot mix the word with faith and it not profit you. It's always going to profit you. They walk hand in hand. Word mixed with faith is going to prosper. They always go hand in hand together. The Bible says if you sow, there's not a question in this world you're going to reap. Both good or bad, whatever you sow, you are going to reap. I'm telling you, that's why I say if we will get involved in planting seeds, we will get a harvest. But we cannot expect a harvest until we are ready to sow seeds. It's the law of the harvest. They always go hand in hand. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can see a person's where his heart is by looking at what his treasures are. I've come to tell you, and this is not for poor planning and not preparing for the future and retirement, but I'm going to tell you something. We ought to make sure that we're laying up for heavenly things and things that don't corrupt. Hallelujah. Come on now. What good is it if we have the biggest house in town, but we are not spiritually prepared to meet Jesus? What good is it if we drive the nicest truck in town, but our kids are dying lost without God? What good is it if we're the most popular person at school, but we've offered them on the altar of sports? Hey, I'm not going to deny it. I like watching a good football game, but I'm going to tell you something. I've made up my mind. I would not offer my kids on the altar of sports. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. I'll say it loud. I'll kick this pulpit over this morning. I'll say it loud and clear. We are not, by the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to help you not let you offer your kids on the altar of sports and worldliness and popularity.
That's as far as I'm going to go with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, and you cannot separate anointing from sacrifice. You just can't do it. You cannot separate anointing from sacrifice. Well, Brother Harmon, I want your anointing. Well, then get ready to live off $200 a week with the family. Brother Harmon, I want your anointing, and I'm not here to... I want your anointing, then fine. Move in a mobile home that's got holes in the closet where animals get in the middle of the night. Brother Harmon, I want your anointing. Yeah, we'll live in a mobile home on a mobile home lot that has no septic tank and all the sewage is going out underneath the trailer. And the intensity of the heat in that trailer was, oh, well, if you would have got a better job. Oh, I understand that. You know what? When I moved to Okmulgee, there was positions open for the police station. And I almost submitted an application to become a policeman. I'm only telling you my story. You can't live my story. My path is not going to be the same as yours. I'm just going to tell you me. I made a decision. And this was right for me. It's not right for everybody. Listen to me. I've heard preachers say stuff like this, and I felt guilty because I didn't walk the same path they walked. My path was not the same as their path. But I'm just going to tell you, as for me, I didn't, because I knew I was in Okmulgee for a reason. And I decided I'm not going to get tied down with a career when I know what I'm here for. Now, I didn't know all God had in store for me in Okmulgee. I didn't know I was going to be there that long. And there were jobs I ended up getting some. But I, myself, my path, would it have been easier? Would the finances have been easier? Oh, yes, indeed, it would have. But I just made up my mind, God, whatever you want. Did I have opportunities to go to other churches and be considered full-time and make more money? Yes, I did. And every time I wanted to leave, God would say no. Were there chances that I had to go take another pastoralship and make more money? Oh, it wouldn't have been hard to do. But I said no. Because of God's plan for my life. Now, you know, Paul was a missionary and a tent maker all at the same time. I've been bivocational ever since I've been pastoring here. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm telling you, for my time, for that season of life for me, I believe that was the course charted for me. Friend, you cannot separate anointing from sacrifice. I am all for assistance. Our church was started
with the assistance of Home Missions in the United Pentecostal Church International. We started as a daughter work from an existing church at the time. But we didn't stay there. So I'm all for giving assistance in missions, home and abroad. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter number 16 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed to him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" I'm all for giving help, and I'm all for receiving help, because there's times that we all need it and have it and can give it. You know, the Bible says four lepers in the time of famine who found the loot, they didn't keep it for themselves. They knew outside this area there's a great famine, and we're going to go share the bounty of what we've received with people that are hungry. They received and they gave. It is true that if you ever see a turtle on a fence post, you can rest assured one thing: it didn't get there by itself. However, the turtle did get as far as it could go. You got to do some things for yourself. You can't lean on everybody else to say that you've got a burden to do something and then expect everybody else to do your burden. If you've got a burden, you do it. Assistance will be there. Guidance will be there. Help will be there. But brothers and sisters, what I don't want is for somebody to say, "I've got a ministry for something," and then you expect everybody else to do it, or you want everybody else to pay the price of the price you're supposed to pay. No, brothers and sisters, if you've got a ministry, if God's given you a work to do, invest in your own ministry. I'll give an example. They're not here today, but the Barnes, they ministered just recently at JYC. They were needing sound set up. They had, I forget how many kids in their class, 160 so kids in their class. It would have been very difficult without a sound system. I found out when I went up to visit them one day right before their class, I said, "Oh, y'all got a sound system?" I said, "Did they have one here at the district that they let y'all borrow?" I said, "No." So, "No, we just went and bought one." The pastor side of me said, "Oh, no, I'm going to find a way to help them. I'm not going to let them pay for this by themselves. I'm going to give to this cause." But there's something, as much as I wanted to, God began to deal with me. People have to make their own investments. And I would come to tell you today, each individual must be willing to make personal sacrifices and investments. It's quiet in here, and I'm going to believe you're listening. And I'm just going to tell you, if this kind of preaching offends you, then get ready to be offended a lot here lately, or in days to come. I'm going to tell you something. We are not going to have a weak and anemic church around this place. We are not going to have some fly-by-night just living off goosebumps on top of goosebumps and how good they sing, and if they can move me enough, then I'll respond. No, we're going to have a strong church that believes doctrine, that believes holiness, and we're going to stand for righteousness. And we're going to make our own sacrifices and not depend upon the sacrifices of everybody else. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, if you are weak in living for God now, you may not make it the closer we get to the end time. Hallelujah. And I don't want your blood on my hands and God saying, "Why didn't you preach it harder to them?" I'm not talking about being mean and crude and rude. You can preach the truth in love. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes we need to shoot straight with one another. And I'm here as your pastor today to give you not my heartbeat, because I prayed just yesterday again and again this morning, "God, I don't want to preach this, but if it's your will, I'm going to preach it." I'm here to tell you this morning, I'm going to preach it. And when you come back Wednesday night, I may preach it again. And when you come back next Sunday, I may be preaching it again. But one thing we're going to do, we're going to stand for God. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to live for God to the very best of our ability. Hallelujah. We've all got to be willing to make our own personal sacrifices and investments. Let me read to you one of the most moving things in the Word of God, in my opinion. It's found, and this story is recorded on a couple of occasions, but let me read it to you from 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse number 24. Now this is after David had disobeyed God in numbering the people. God told him in advance, don't number the people. Well, David found it upon himself to number the people, and then when he did, it made God angry. And God said, because of your sin, you've got three choices. I can let the enemy come against you, and I forget for how many days, 3 weeks or 30 days or whatever it was. He said, I can let the enemy come against you for a season of time. Or there's another one I forget now. But then he said, or either I will come through the land for 3 days and devour whatever I want to devour. 70,000 people died. David said, look, he saw the angel between the heavens and the earth with a sword in his hand. God had told him, or he told the angel, he said, stop for a moment, just wait. Wait. David said, the Bible says in verse 24, that the king went to Araunah and said, let me have your threshing floor. He said, I'll buy it from you. And the man said, oh no, you're not going to buy it from me. He said, matter of fact, I'll give you the land. I'll give you all the tools that are needed. I'll give you the animals. I'll give you whatever is needed free of charge for you to offer sacrifice. Now that seems like, you know what, if somebody was to come to us and say, I'm going to give you free land and all the materials needed to build a new church, you would think I was crazy if I said, nope, not going to do it. We'd probably have a board meeting over that. I would think so. And I'd have some people in the church saying, Brother Harmon, what are you? We have been given prime property for no charge. And not only that, they have offered to pay the entire building cost. And you said no. And David said no. And this is why. He said, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor of the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David said, I refuse to offer sacrifice that cost me nothing. And we got too many people that like the music, and they love the teachers, and they love the activities, but they've never bought in with their own sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you, friend of mine, that the only way to reach the full benefits of what God does through this local assembly is for you to sacrifice right along with us. I'll never forget that a month or so before Brother Shelton came over there in that building. And he said, I'm not telling you it's God, I'm just telling you if it was me. He said, if it was me, this would be the last service I had in this building. He said, I'd go over there and I'd start having service. I'll never forget Brother Jamie and Brother Matt and a few of them came to me after church all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. What are we going to do? And I'm thinking, oh, my Lord. I can tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want to do it. But I didn't want to look like the one with unbelief. I said, all right, guys, that's good. And them guys moved the pews, portable sound system, the pulpit, and we had church here, and it did not look like this that Sunday night. And we've been here ever since, with the exception of remodeling and storm damage and whatever. I'll never forget before that happened, I was at Apostolic Conference. And I'll never forget looking at those North American missions missionaries, people that have started churches from relatively nothing or meager means. I'll never forget God speaking to me. I didn't know it was God at the time, but I later realized it was Jesus. I began to think, what would it be like to go back to not having your projector and your good sound system and padded pews and carpet on the floors and everything is nice? I thought, man, what would it be like to go back to that? And little did I know what was going to happen a few weeks down the road when we moved into, thank God, we had a building, no carpet, concrete floors that had cracks in it, walls were hideous, kitchen that hadn't been used hardly at all. Thank God we had a couple of bathrooms. It didn't look like this. Meager means. But I'll never forget in that apostolic front conference, God speaking to me. And I just begin to think, you know, what we have today where we worship at is because of the sacrifice of my father, my mother, and a few that are still here. And God began to deal with me. What's going to be your sacrifice? You just going to live off the efforts of everybody else? You're going to live off the labor of those that have gone before you? Or are you going to make your own sacrifices? Church, listen to me. If you're new in God, God bless you. But I want you to learn at an early age, you cannot live off of somebody else's sacrifice. You've got to make your own sacrifices. Hear me today. Hear your pastor today. You've got to make your own sacrifices. You've got to make your own. I refuse to offer a sacrifice that cost me nothing. You know, the Word of God says it's our reasonable service. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now look, I ain't preached much in 4 weeks. Bear with me. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is not unreasonable. He said it is your reasonable sacrifice. Whatever God asks of you and I is reasonable. But he asked me for this. I don't care what he asks you for. If he asks you for it, it is reasonable. Whatever we want to call sacrifice in 2025, brothers and sisters, when you compare it to Calvary, nothing we do is really a sacrifice. If God says, lay off the phone for a little while, turn off the tube for a little while, change your dress, change your conduct, change your lifestyle, brothers and sisters, that is not an unreasonable sacrifice. It is reasonable. It is something God expects of us. It is something God expects from us. I was at the party yesterday celebrating Sam's graduation. Brother Wofford, a friend of mine, called me, and we were talking, and we got talking about services for tomorrow, and I said, I feel something kind of heavy for tomorrow, and begin to tell him a little bit about what I felt in my spirit, what I'd be preaching. He made this statement. I want to give credit to where credit's due. I didn't come up on this by myself. But Ahaz, who was a king in Israel one time, went and viewed another country, and he saw the altars that they built to their God. He thought, man, we don't have altars like that. I mean, these are beautiful altars. He said, matter of fact, I'm going to get word to the high priest. Remove the brazen altar. The altar of sacrifice. Move it out of the way. Put it in a corner somewhere. and I want you to build altars like this. And he gave him the dimensions and showed him how to build it. And they removed sacrifice from the tabernacle. And Brother Wolford told me this. He said he preached a message one time. Don't sacrifice sacrifice. And I'm telling you, in 2025, the church today is doing too much sacrifice of sacrifice. We'll avoid it. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Baptize me in your name. Give me righteousness, peace, and joy. All the benefits of living for God. But don't come around me with that sacrifice stuff, Jesus. Don't ask me to change anything. Don't ask me to get more involved. Don't ask me to sacrifice my time or my talent. Just let me keep on being me. I'll show up on Sundays and Wednesdays and I'll give a good Holy Ghost high and praise God. God bless you. And I'll do a little juke and joint juke every once in a while. But don't come talking to me about sacrifice. And I'm telling you, we have sacrificed sacrifice. And God wants to change it in us. You see, the two prostitutes came before Solomon. They both had babies. One died in the middle of the night. The one prostitute traded her dead baby with a living baby. There was an argument, disagreement between the two prostitutes. They came before Solomon and said, Solomon says, well, you say this is your baby. You say it's your baby. Solomon wasn't there. He don't have a clue whose baby it is. He said, I'll tell you what we'll do. He said, we'll cut the baby in half, and you can have half the baby, and you can have half the baby. And the lady who was not the mother said, oh, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. The real mother says, absolutely not. I'd rather my baby live than and to be raised by somebody else than for my baby to die. You know why the one lady was willing to allow the baby to be cut in half and left for dead? Because it wasn't her pain that she endured. It wasn't her labor. She had absolutely nothing invested into that baby. That's why she could say, just let it die. I don't care. I didn't birth this baby. I didn't go through the labor pains of this baby. I didn't get up in the middle of the night any time to feed this baby, to change this baby. I have nothing invested in this child. Just let it die. And I've come to tell you, it's always easier to let things die that you haven't sacrificed for. You hear me today? It's always easier to let things die that you have not sacrificed for. It's easy to criticize something you're not involved in. It's easy to criticize something you're not involved in. Too many attend church, but they are not invested in the work of God. I've come to tell this church, it is time to get back to sacrifice. I'm coming to a close. I feel like some of you are getting weary. Brother Shatwell said, people can only endure as much as their rear end can put up with. Rich young ruler. The problem is he was rich and he was young. He didn't do anything to work for what he had. And people who do nothing to work for what they have are spoiled people who never understand the cost to get what they got. Our goal is for everyone to not just like our church. We want you to develop a burden for one another. We want you to develop a burden for our county. And I'm not afraid to say it. It's our hope that you would invest in the efforts of the kingdom financially and with your time. You see, priests and prophets' sons who never built their own altars always became wicked and careless concerning God's people. They had nothing invested in it. They had not built any altars. I'll live how I want to live. Do what I want to do. Makes no sense to me. I don't have, because there's no investment. There was no cost involved. Elisha wanted a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And Elisha received it because he was willing to stay with it until he received it. Oh, man, I don't want to go with him today. That's fine. You ain't got to go, but you won't receive it if you don't go. Man, it's too hot today. It's raining today. It's too cold at night. That's fine. Ain't nobody forcing you, but I'm just telling you, you won't receive the double portion if you're not willing to make the journey. Question is, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? How bad do you want stories like we read about in the book of Acts that just by their shadow, people were healed? Oh, I want that kind of anointing. Really? Do we want to go through the kind of chaos and struggle that they were willing to go through? You know what? We grumble and complain when we face troubles and trials. The Bible said there were many said we counted all joys. I got to be honest, I ain't always counted it a joy. But it does kind of paint a picture, the difference between the Acts church and the church of 2025. Sister Deborah Wallen, there's a lot of people who admire your faith. There's a lot of people who want your faith. But if you want her faith, walk her road. Go through bouts of cancer. Go through endless nights, maybe crying yourself to sleep with sickness speaking into your ear. You're going to die. You're not going to make it. You won't see your grandchildren get older. You want her faith? Walk her road. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a cost for the faith that she has now. There's a cost involved. I want the oil. I want the oil. I want the oil. You see, there are significances of oil in the Old Testament or in the Word of God. It was used for trade and commerce. Oil was used for light. You can't have life without light without oil. We want this city to burn like a light on a hill that can be seen for miles. We gotta have oil. We gotta have oil. It was used to prepare food. It was used for medicine. But it was used to anoint people to be kings and priests and prophets, signifying their consecration and their empowerment for those roles. Do you want the oil? Do you really want the oil, or we just want to preach about it and shout about it at camp meeting and conferences? Or do we really want the oil? Because the only way to get the anointing oil is to go through the process.